Better? Okay. Dear Lord, we just ask that you would bless these words, bless this time, give us your thoughts, your purpose, and your plan. Ryan read James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of all lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does that mean? It means that God does not change. God is not changing. He is the same today as yesterday, and he will be the same tomorrow. He does not change his word. He does not change his character. He does not change the gospel. And he does not change his mercy. Catastrophes that happen, they seem to happen so fast and so quickly that we forget what the last one was as the newest one appears. But I remember this so vividly, the tsunami that hit Japan. When was that? How long ago was that? Anybody know? Was it 3 years, 4 years, more than that? 11 years ago? So they had a man they interviewed after the tsunami, and he was standing on this peninsula looking out towards the ocean, and he said that he was born in a very poverty-ridden situation after the end of World War II and the family. And what he had desired and wanted to do is he wanted to make a way for his family so that they would not have to struggle the same as he had, and that there would be some security and some stability in their lives. A rather noble cause, right? So what he did is he worked in this various jobs. He got enough money to start some kind of a business. It's a retail business, a store. I don't remember what it was. But he had worked there, and he had worked there night and day. And he had started to train his son, and his son was there. And now his son was just ready to take over this endeavor. It was the dream that he had lived for and worked for, and a wave came from the ocean and took away his building and his store. But greater than that, it also took away his son. And his son was gone. And I thought, isn't it amazing how we make our plans, set our lives, put things in order in what we assume is unchanging. But the look on this guy's face told the whole story. Even though they had an interpreter, you could tell by the expression, just for what? What do I do from here? But that's not where we stand, right? We stand in a place and we have a God that never changes. We have a God who is eternal. We have a God who has a purpose. We have a God who has a plan. We have a God who knows the beginning from the end. There is not something that comes along and surprises him. James 1:8, the double-minded man, the two-souled man. We see this throughout our history. We see this in our own selves. Oh, yes, God, we're ready for you, God. We're moving, God. And then all of a sudden, what happens, right? Something. I hate music. No. I just felt like I couldn't see everybody over there. That's it. There goes the music budget. Sal, you should have been paying attention. But to be in this way is unstable. To think this way one day, to think this way a different day, to be God is having a miracle, things are working for me, wait a minute, there's something else I need, it's not coming, this isn't working the way I want. We see this in our lives, we see it throughout the Bible, we see it throughout they love Jesus, and the next day they want to kill him. Same with the apostles, right? They create something, a miracle, someone's healed, and they want to call them gods, and then the next day they are having to be protected by the Romans because they want to kill them. Unstableness. Unstableness. And that's kind of where I want to go this morning, is unstableness. We have a God that never changes, and there is nothing greater and more stable than this incredible God, right? Yet, what happens in our mind and what happens in our experience in life? In Proverbs 24:21, it says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Right? Isn't there constant change? Constantly things moving. Proverbs 22:28, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy father has set." Do not remove these landmarks. Not only are they an ancient landmark, they're an eternal landmark. You know, I got this morning as I was reading, I got a text, and the picture is the emblem for the Marine Corps with a soldier with a rainbow flag. The United States Marine Corps has now adopted, I don't even know how to say all the letters, the LBGP, whatever thing it is now, has been accepted by the United States Marine Corps. And they said, well, we feel we'll be a more strategic fighting force now that we have to take breaks for. Imagine the latrines, men, women, unsure, whatever, right? It's crazy. The world is crazy. The changes that are happening, the tearing down of things, is so hard. If we turn to Isaiah 5. And starting in verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Sound like today? Sound like what we're seeing today? Sound like what's there? Then it says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Isn't that interesting? Prudent. Right? Prudent means to pay attention, to be observant. But the problem is they're paying attention or being observant to their own understanding. Right? To what is it that we want to have? What is it that we think we need? What is it's there? In 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15, it tells us about what? As Satan is an angel of light and his ministers of light are there. How does our system go? How do we get moved from a place of stability, standing with God, to being a double-minded person? How do we get moved in that way? And it's very simple. It's your focus. Where does your focus get moved to? What is it that I'm standing on? What is it that I'm relying upon? What is it that I'm putting my effort upon? We all have wants. We all have desires. We all have hopes. But we look at something, and how do we go to obtain that? How do we go forward in that area? One of the things that's one of the easiest areas to look at is relationships, right? You find someone, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a husband or a wife. Awesome idea for that. But how do you pursue it? How do you go after it? How do you do that? What is it? What is your plan? I think of myself, I get almost every morning a little video or a picture of my granddaughter, and she's doing something there, and I have this desire to say, how do I be with her more? How do I find a place to be there more? How do I operate in that place to be more? Well, I have the means and the ability in which I can do that. Right? I could make that move. I could tomorrow move and be okay and do that and set that up. But what if that's not God's plan? What if I use my own understanding, my own seeing, my own justification? And I'm not talking about an evil thing. I'm talking about a great thing. But I can, in that area, open a door for myself to become the God of my life with a little g, and then I open myself up so that now the angel of light is there, susceptible to move me where it is not prudent for me to be. Right? And that's in all these areas. God is not saying, hey, I can say, okay, Pastor Mike is God. He looks like God. Look, he's awesome. Pastor Mike, you know what? This is, I want you to bless me, but this is what I'm doing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I need you to hurry up and bless me. But he's saying, that's not what I decided. That's not the plan I had for your life. I made you and I created you and I knew what you needed. I know what you wanted and I know what is the perfect place for you. And I say, yeah, that's nice, but I'm going here. Can you please give me a blessing? Right? This is how we get led into a place of destruction. This is a way that Satan finds his opportunity to go. But what is it that I seek the Lord first? I ask God to give me what I desire, to give me those things, and I ask Him, please, Lord, lead me where I should be. Lead me with what I should have. Lead me to where it is to go. Give me beyond what I could ask for. Right? I think back, and as a young man, and all of a sudden I had my life change, and I made a decision that I wanted to see, what is this thing, God? What is it that I had given my life to as a young man and really didn't understand? What is this? What is it really to follow God? What does it mean to do that? I, like everyone else, I wanted to have a wife. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have security. I wanted to have success. And then all of a sudden, here's this preaching that's going on. And I'm drawn to this Word of God and this power of God. And I don't really even understand so much of it. But wow, it feels good to hear. It feels good to touch. It feels good to be moved. It's a good gift coming from above. And then what ends up happening? I get added. Well, she'll say that the reason I went to Bible college classes is because she was there. But, you know, something, God brings something in. All of a sudden, there's something. There's a gift. And there's this cute girl. Yeah, you know, I was almost perfect. But, you know, and she's like, are you going to Bible class? Of course. Been there for years. Right? So, wow, it's a good gift. It comes from God. It leads and it grows and it's amazing. Right? And it doesn't change. And we walk to the same landmarks. And we walk to the same paths. And we believe the same things. And we see the same power. And we see the same purpose. We see the same joy. And God is amazing. Does that not mean that there isn't waves? Does that mean that there's not troubles? Of course there is. Of course there is. But you know what? When we're following God, we have the ability to overcome those things through the peace and the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, it said that the serpent beguiled Eve. The serpent deceived. The serpent got us to trade for something different. But Moses in Exodus 3, he says what? He says, I am is with me. What it really means is that with you is I am. Right? With you is I am. And I'll tell you something that makes a big difference when you think about it. Where I am, He is. Where I stand, He is. In my victory, He is. In my trouble, He is. He is not moved. And He doesn't change. And I screw up, and He doesn't change. Right? You think about that. And all power and authority is in His hand. All power and authority is there. I am with you always, even on to the end of the world. Right? Just being up north, we were with a group of guys. I think they're about 12 years older than myself. And they've kind of banded together in this area. We're up hunting. And they were all Vietnam vets. And they had been let down incredibly by our government, by our people. This one guy, Norm, told me that he was there. He was 24 years old. 24 years old, teaching school, married. And he got a draft notice. And they said, well, you can be an officer and we'll have you sign, but you'll have to be here for 5 years, or you can go enlisted and you're there for 2 years. And he's like, I'm married, I'm there. I don't even know what's going on in Southeast Asia. And so he went and he ended up in some unbelievable combat. And when he returned home, they landed in Oakland, California at midnight. But they had to stay on the plane for over 2 hours. They were going crazy, like, we've just flown for 26 hours. We want to get off this plane. But they couldn't let them off the plane until they assembled enough MPs to part the crowd, protesters, anti-war protesters, that would have attacked and hurt these guys that just came back. And so they've moved, and it's like these little groups of these guys with these experiences, and they've gone because they've been let down by something. They've been let down by life. And they're surviving and they're going. And we can do that. We can survive. We can go. But we will never prosper without walking with God. It was unbelievable. It was funny because they don't know what to make of me, because I've determined, and that maybe sounds... there's nothing good in me. I think anyone who knows me knows that. But I've determined that I'm not going to not share the gospel. And so with these guys, it's interesting because they hear the truth, but they want to put a filter. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to put a filter. So, yes, this is what the Word of God says, and I would like to believe it, but I want this part of it. Right? Or I want that part of it. In Malachi 3:16, he says, I'm the Lord and I change not. What I have is what I have. The way to salvation is the way of the gospel. We know that. It's there. This is it. This is where we stand. This is the recovery. This is the place. And it's funny because in a group, nobody will ever respond so much. But as you then are with them, they start to talk. Ephesians 4:14 says not to be tossed about and carried by every wind of doctrine. Every thought that comes, every desire that comes. I know some unbelievable men of God. They forgot more than I'll ever know. But they had a desire that wasn't from God. And they changed their doctrine to meet their desire. And took themselves out of the plan of God. But not only out of the plan of God, there was no great joy that came from it. They took themselves out of the blessing. They walked away from the landmarks that were set by the Lord. Then what happens is the lifestyle changes. What we believe, what we practice, what we take in creates our lifestyle. That is how it works. That is how it always will work. And that is how it moves. What I understand, what I see, and what I do will result in who I am. Right? If you eat Twinkies all day long, you look like a Twinkie. Hebrews 13 says, Christ the same yesterday, today. We can be transformed. We can be transformed. We can be changed by what we do, what we eat, what we feed, and what we allow Do we allow God to change our lives? Do we allow God to move in our lives? And then we say, yeah, but this society, it's crazy. Yes, it is crazy. It's absolutely insane. It's undeterminable. And then we start in class and we're studying through Corinth. And you know what? It's not so bad when you start looking back at Corinth and you start looking back at this time. When Paul, you know, we think about these missionary journeys, we think about these churches, and we think like Paul showed up in Corinth and said, hey, Jesus sent me. And a whole bunch of people gather around and say, oh, you're awesome. No, they want to kill him. They want to stone him. They want to get rid of him. They want, who is this idiot wrecking our business? Right? So Corinth, here is Corinth, and Corinth has, I just did a class this last Monday night, and it hasn't left my mind, but in 1 Corinthians 8:1-3. And here's the thing, is the city, right? In this city, there is great wealth. Because they found a way to bring boats across the land, across this peninsula, and save these guys all this time sailing around and with greater safety. And so money is coming through, people are coming through, and they have all of these amazing temples. They have two temples to Zeus, Apollos. And they are what? They are where homosexuality is practiced. Then they have all of these other temples to Diane, and what they are is prostitutes in the temple. And they would enter the city and move in. The place was crazy. People were crazy. The lawlessness, the craziness. And here is this place, and Paul comes and starts a church there, and the believers are there, and the believers are there, and they're receiving from God and seeing from God in this crazy society. And then if you study yourself, you'll see that all kinds of trouble come. All kinds of difficulty come in forms of problems, because what happens is they take their eyes off of Christ. They follow this teacher or that teacher and this, and living in a world that's so promiscuous that they're destroyed. Sound familiar to today? Sound like today everything is related in some way, right? You can't buy a car unless you see a scandally dressed woman laying across the hood, right? Whatever is used, whatever is there today in our life, this is our society. This was the society then. And here's Paul speaking to them then. And they come to a situation. They come to difficulties. How do we answer? How do we get questions? What do we do? Right? And if we're following God and we're not following in the correct order, we end up in two places. We end up over here. We'll call these guys over here. This is the legalistic side. They make rules. They make choices. Are you going to do this way, wear that? I would be in a lot of trouble because I couldn't find a tie that fit with this shirt. And that, these guys would be right. They want me done. Look at them. Look at this group. They're bad. Right? They got all kinds of rules and that. Over here, these guys over here, they don't live by those rules. Right? Over here, what do? By whatever their conscience leads. Right? Whatever their conscience leads. Well, Jesus is love, and love is good, so I can sleep with my dog. Right? Whatever they want to do, they think is great. They think it's awesome in their life, and that's where they're led. They're a pretty nasty group. The only one left is the middle here, right? So we come to this, and Paul's like, hey, you think you know something, you don't know it. The only people that know anything are the people that know they don't know it. And here we are in this place, and here's God saying, what are we going to do? How do we go? And they say to Paul, what do we do about food that's been offered to an idol? What do we do about this food? What do we do? How do we eat? Well, in this culture, most everything was offered to idols. Very difficult to not do that. And Paul says, okay, well, I want you to do this. No, he doesn't. He says, seek God. He wants them to hear from God. He wants them to walk from God. He wants them to bring their petition to God and get an answer from God. Now we have cardinal doctrines that we understand on either side. These are things we don't do and these are the things we do. And all this stuff is in the middle and all this stuff in our life. How do we go? How do we get to this place? How do we go? You know what? This crowd right here What do? They hear from the Holy Spirit. What does that mean in your life? What does that mean in your life to come to a place where we hear from the Holy Spirit? Where I'm not living in an emotional response to whatever I think, or I'm not over here and setting up a set of rules and regulations, but I'm in a place where I can respond to the love of God and the care of God and understand what I'm choosing, what is the effect on people? What is the effect on those people? And what is God's heart for those people? And for me. You know, an easy example for me is this, is me and my wife came to a place in our life, and not because of alcoholism or overbearing or a problem in that area, but we came to a place and we sat down one night with our friends, and we were there, and there's always the push to you, please have a drink. It's unbelievable how people are. It's like, does it matter what I'm drinking? But it does. Because if you're drinking something different, I'm making you make a choice when I say no, right? But we came home from the night and said, you know what? If I could just say, yeah, put a beer in front of me and never touch it, the problem's gone away. But the conviction of God, the personal conviction, and I'm not here to tell you. I'm not here to tell you. That's not what this is about. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and spoke to my wife and said, this is the way we're walking. And you know something? Since that time, there's never been any pressure. Because I heard from God, I know from God what it is. Now you can say wine is this and that, and I don't care. I don't care. God spoke to me, and I can show myself and support myself in the Word of God. It's not made up, right? But it's there. And then what does it do? It sets me free. I'm free in that area. I'm not subject to anything in that area. Where is God leading us? What is God showing us? We have incredible choices to make today. Incredible things are out there. I mean, just right now, some people even facing right now, many, many people. And I'm not here because I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I've heard all the way from you take the vax and you don't have to walk anymore. You float because you're in such great place. Or I've heard that you take the vax over here and you will start growing another head within another week, right? So, but where, there? What is, who knows? Hear from God. Hear from God. Know what God's saying. If you're sick and you have a disease, you make a choice. Do you take an operation? Do you take chemotherapy? You make that decision. The problem I have is anybody telling me what to do. That's the problem I have. Nobody's telling me what to do. I am a believer in Jesus Christ and I am free in that area. Now, who knows? Maybe someone will hold me down or whatever. But that's fine. But you know what? I'm saying to you, that's your decision. That's your life. What are you going to decide? What is right? What is there? How does it line up with the Word of God? Where are you going to be? But I'm constantly becoming one thing or another. I am either being transformed into the image of Christ or I'm being transformed into the image of the world. It's that. It's there. It's one way or the other. What am I feeding on? What am I walking in? And this, of course, never was what I was starting, so please, God. Here we are. What are we going to do? What are we going to do today? What are we going to do with the Word of God that is in front of us? What are we going to do with the opportunity that God has? What are we going to do in a society that is crazy, like so many others have been? Right? What do? We share the gospel. We share the good news. We share the truth. We lead people in the paths of righteousness. And then what I try to do with my life is not be a stumbling block for others. What do I choose to do? And if I think about that as I'm making decisions in my life, what is this thing that I'm doing? Is it a stumbling block? Am I entering and living in a life of legalism, of rules, or am I living in a life of license to sin, or am I living in walking with God? And that's the amazing thing. There's the opportunity that was given to us. I remember back, and Y2K Y2K. Can you remember that? The year 2000, right? The year 2000, that's it. I actually would have been really happy if all computers died. Because I don't do real well with electronics, right? Water, good. Electronics, no. But here's the thing is that everything's coming to an end. And I remember in church, the hubbub and the worry, and oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And I thought, hey, everything collapsed. I get to shoot things. Ah, this is okay. Right? So, and people were going crazy. So, we had young kids, and Beth's like, ah. And so Beth said, you know what? In my prayer meeting this morning, she said, God told me it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I said, really? And she says, yeah. And I said, oh, dang. No. So she said, no, it's going to be, I'm not feeling the fear that is building around. So we both prayed together and we agreed upon that. And you know what? It came and went. Right? It came and went. And it wasn't there. You know what? God is going to speak to us. God is going to take care of us. God is going to cover us. John 15:13. How can he show any greater that he loves me or you? How can he show any greater way than to lay his life down? There's no other way that a God could, anything could show that, right? He has shown the ultimate thing. Here I am. I have laid my life down for you and for my friends. In Matthew 28:18-20, it says, with you is I am. I am with you. I am here to comfort you. I am here to take care of you. You ever see a little kid get scared what they want to do and climb to their father, right? There's a fear that's there. We were out to dinner, and little Nora was with me, and this lady, who's pretty scary looking, she came over, and she's like, ah, and that kid climbed into my shirt and into the side of that, and as soon as she got there, she was comfortable to move and go, because she knew what? She knew that there's nothing that's going to hurt her without having to kill Papa first, right? And here's the thing is that we have this God. We have this place. He is with us. He is there. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants us, right? He wants us not in such an agitated state of worry and concern. So I just took the last few days off, and Jared will attest that business is crazy, and things are insane. And I made a purposeful decision that I would not touch my emails until after this afternoon, right? And it's a little bit eating at me. But, you know, I said, I'm going to see what God has to say and God is going to do, because that will take care of itself. So the challenge will be, again, those awful machines, right? You have 300 emails. And I don't even like people on it, but whatever. So here's the thing is that here we go, and what am I going to do? What is it going to be? What is there? What comes? And this is the verse that I want to end with. This is the thing that I want to think about. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also in me. He is going to make a place for us and prepare a place for us. Right? Let not your heart be troubled. That's an awesome saying. But oh my gosh, is that hard to put into effect? Right? So I can say, God, I just got a little list here. Can you take care of these 25 things and my heart won't be troubled? Until I give you the other list when I'm done with this one, right? He is for me. He is not against me. His purpose and his plan is amazing. His desires for me, incredible. And I'm thinking what I'm worried about. And I started thinking back of all of these disasters and catastrophes and wars and situations and economic ups and economic downs and all of these things. And you say, wow. Wow. We've been okay. We've been taken care of. We've been next to death. We've watched death. Death is hard. But God has taken care of that. God has handled that. That's incredible, isn't it? But Micah 6:8 says what? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. What does walking humbly with God mean? It's walking with Him and listening to Him. Right? Walking with Him and listening to what He's saying. Listening to where He's leading. Listening to what He is encouraging. Right? When I'm doing that, I'm in a place of preparation. Of course, sorrow. Of course, anger. Of course, disappointment. All of those things will come. But they will not control you. They will not run you. Because you know who you're with. And you know who is in you. And you know the power that He has. And my heart begins to transform. And my life begins to transform. And then the last thing is we have this unbelievable opportunity. And that's to be a witness of Christ. That I can represent Jesus Christ with my failures and my inadequacies. I can represent Him to people. And I can watch lives get changed. That's incredible. That's incredible to see. That's beyond anything you could ever imagine would be available. So, in closing, what's troubling your heart? What's running your heart? What is there? What is that it is that has such power? And it's probably real. It's probably with great consequences if it doesn't go a certain way, right? Maybe some it's life and death. Maybe others it's finances. But here He is saying what? Walk humbly with Me. Listen to what I have to say. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have laid My life down for you. I cannot demonstrate to you any more than that as to how important you are to Me. Right? There's no way. And He says, I am for you. And if I am for you, who can be against you? Right? So we're in a place where we can trust and we can grow and we can watch the glory of God be revealed. Right? The glory of God to be revealed. And that we will never be in a place where we will be ashamed of the gospel of God. Right? We will be willing to share. And God, help me to take my focus off of myself and keep it upon You. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for tonight. This morning. We ask that You would be with Pastor Bailey as he's going to travel back from this conference. We also, Lord, we pray because today is a day of prayer for the persecuted church. And right now we think about especially these 17 missionaries, some of them children, that have been kidnapped in Haiti, and they've been about, 25 or 30 days they've been held to this point. Lord, we ask that You would set them free. We ask that You would keep them safe. We pray for the church all around the world. We pray for the church in America. We pray for strength. We pray for courage. We pray for victory. We pray for souls. In Jesus' name. And just so we don't walk out of here, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart and saying, you know what? Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. Jesus wants you to be with Him for eternity. Don't leave this room without saying, I believe in You, Lord. I believe that You died and Your death and Your blood paid for all sins, that I could be with You in eternity forever. I ask You this day to reside in my heart. And if you said that prayer, please tell someone before you leave the building. We would like so much to rejoice with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand up and sing Glory in the Highest again.
Before, you are the last, Lord, you're the encore. Your name's in lights for all to see. The starry roads declare your glory. See, you are the one.